Alan?
Cool, thank you. What I'd normally like to do is answer questions about the work plan, but before we do that, I want to just mention briefly, it's an evolving plan now because it's, I think the last few sessions we've had, I've talked about how it's shrunk from 3 or 4 pages down to 1 as we focused on our MOU projects and financial, basically IFRS 9 and financial instruments, leases and revenue, and I think you've got sessions on revenue, leases and FI later on, so I don't know if there's much, but really a lot of benefit gained from talking about any of those in particular, but essentially that's been our main thrust, plus of course insurance. And now, since we completed the agenda consultation, by the way, the feedback statement will be out this quarter indicating what our blueprint is for operating. We've now started to build up again our work plan into components. So if you have a look, I think the work plan you got was the one we had just before last week's meeting. So there are 2 changes to it since then, but essentially it's pretty much unchanged, I guess. It's the very top, it talks about the agenda consultation, and then the financial crisis related projects, classification, measurement, impairment, and macro hedging. Martin, I think, is here this afternoon, so I'll give you more of a brief on that. And then leases and revenue, you'll see there we're on target for getting an ED out for leases Q1 next year, and for RevRec, we're looking trying to wrap that up by June of next year. Now, the other projects we've got, insurance, the change or the news for us was a decision to re-expose that as opposed to going to a staff draft or going towards final. So you should expect to see an exposure draft out for that one either in the first half of next year, we hope. The investment entities finalisation is, we're wrapping that up now. I think it's been through the balloting process. So we should finalise that. And then we've got a series of narrow scope improvements, etc. But let me just paint an overall picture. So we've got these standards level projects of the main 4 joint projects, a couple of smaller ones such as consolidated investment entities, and now we're starting to build up our research agenda as well. And what we've done, if we have a look towards the bottom of the pages that you've got, you'll see that we've got research projects identified there. Regulated activities is one. We've decided that it's a complex issue. Rate regulated activities are not just a Canadian or a US problem. They're a problem. They're a feature around the world, and they often vary in the way they operate. And we've struggled in the past. We had an exposure draft to try and deal with how we should present rate regulated activities, but it was actually pretty much focused mainly around the Canadian example of regulation. We need to have a much broader solution to this. And the question is, even if there is a solution, the solution might be that you just can't recognise assets or liabilities. We're going to aim to put a discussion paper out. That discussion paper we hope to have or expect to have ready next year. There's a related question, though. Should we grandfather existing practice in places like Canada, the US, for example, and India? It's too late for Brazil, obviously, but there are lots of countries that do have this. Should we have a grandfathering? And we discussed that yesterday at the Advisory Council. Vincent was in one of the sessions for that.
We're also discussing it later this morning.
Yeah, so it's a big issue in terms of whether you allow develop another IFRS 4 or IFRS 6, which is insurance and extractive activities. The risk is by grandfathering, you basically take away the incentive to try and get a solution in place. And so it's, but on the other hand, if you're not quite sure what the solution is, do you stop people, make people force them into a change and then possibly change back again when you do get a solution in place? So that's quite a big issue for us. We've also initiated a change to bearer biological assets in IS 41. And essentially, I think you know the issue there. When you've got assets, and palm oil is the one that's quoted to us most often by the Malaysians, where essentially if you've got agricultural assets that are embedded in the land and then they produce fruit or some sort of product of it after it, actually separating the fair values of the land from the tree, from the fruit, is causing problems in some places. And they're saying there's an argument that the information is not as useful, perhaps, and the suggestion has come back that we ought to review just the bare biological asset side of it. So we've agreed to do a narrow scope project on IS21, just focusing on bare assets. The other big one in there is conceptual framework that we have. We're developing a conceptual framework discussion paper, five chapters all together, and so we're all five topics, and that's elements, measurement, presentation, and disclosure, which I suspect might be interesting to you, and the reporting entity. And all of those, that work will be together in one discussion paper, and the target for that is 30 June next year. So it's very tight, and what you'll start to see, I think, is that we're going to develop this in a slightly different way. We're going to, for example, once we get the discussion paper out, you're going to see roundtables, public roundtables, happen almost immediately as opposed to waiting for comments to come in. So you'll find us doing some things on the side and trying to run parallel streams of thinking and input so that we can actually meet our deadline, because we're determined that this is not going to drag out as the first chapters of the framework have actually done. So what you're seeing is that we're still at the sharp end. We've got these projects we're finishing, and then at the bottom end, we've got a much broader base building up of research activities. And as well as that, you will see over the coming 18 months or so, another seven projects feed their way onto the research agenda that we discussed in May of this year. That will be clear. At the moment, we're doing quite a bit of work on our web pages, and when we launch our new web page, you'll see all of the research projects actually explained one by one. You'll actually start to see them feed onto the program. But that'll happen, I think, over the next 12, 18 months, because our priority is to get those the bare biological assets regulated, underway, and also conceptual framework. And so we'll just feed the research on as we get staff rang up.
Yes, please. And could you just confirm the elements of coverage in the conceptual framework, specifically whether you're, if and when you'll be covering elements such as the disclosure framework, presentation issues, and OCR?
All as part of this, all together, which we see presentation, disclosure, and elements, and measurement as all being related. So we're discussing and developing a discussion paper that covers all of those topics together, and they will all come out in June next year as one discussion paper. So we'll start to see the presentation dealing with OCI, whether we should or should not have OCI, if we have OCI, whether there should be recycling, for example. Those issues are going to have to be addressed in the discussion paper, as well as the measurement basis.
And disclosure framework.
And disclosure framework.
All problems will be solved by next year. No problem.
All problems will be defined by next year. tell you what, putting a solution out is easy. Getting people to agree to it is the hard bit. So we could be done at the end of February if we wanted to, but then the trouble is getting... There are some pretty big decisions about measurement, for example, and OCI, etc., and it's...
Will we be in a position to bring to this group something for their meeting in the 7th of March?
Yes. I haven't got the timetable in front of me, but Peter, do you want to, I don't know if you could sketch out what we're doing.
We should certainly be able to discuss something with you by that meeting.
Yeah. The first thing we're doing is putting a skeleton together of the issues that we need to discuss. You know, some people ask us, are we going to have a preliminary views, for example? Are you going to sit there and say, this is what the measurement attribute conceptually should be, or this is the way we approach measurement? Well, the answer to that depends a little bit, because I think if we get clear consensus amongst our board, then we'll state quite clearly that that's what the board's decided. If we've got a split board or split decisions, or it's clearly is a major problem that we want a little bit more info in, then we're going to have to explain that as well. So I think the clear preference is, the clearer we describe the framework, the better. So the problem is, if we're a bit undecided on one aspect, it has implications for other parts of it. And then we have to explain, well, if we go down that path, this is what the other implications are, this path, and so on. So that's why we want to put them all together at the same time, because we think that we can get a much more cohesive framework if we develop it, all the chapters together. So we're going to Are there any questions on any of the issues here? Oh, sorry, there are two changes here to the project timetable. The work plan you've got mentions IS 8, and this was work we're doing on paragraph 28F, if you know what that is. It's to do with when you have a mandatory change in requirements and the first time application of a new standard, what the disclosure requirements are in the year of transition. We've now withdrawn that, the work on that, and we're going to discuss transition and comparability more generally as part of the disclosure framework, which will feed into that chapter. If I can also mention, related to that, we're just trying to firm up the dates for a thing called a disclosure forum. And the whole idea of that is that we're going to get together people from the user community, the preparer community, the regulators, the auditors, and us, the standard setters, to talk about ways that we can improve, I guess, the quality or the clarity of reporting within our existing framework. Because even going very fast on a conceptual framework, 3 years to finish the conceptual framework, and then you're going to have the consequential amendments to standards, if there are any, we're talking 4 to 5 years before you can make substantive changes to the disclosure requirements. And so we want to see if there's some way we can improve the quality of the reporting and get people to agree and coalesce around some ideas to improve within the existing framework. At the moment, we've been looking at venues, et cetera, and availability. We're looking at the, I think it's about the 28th or 29th of January next year. It's board week for us, so we have board members available. And the information we've had from outside is that it actually fits in okay with the preparers, because it's before the financial institutions hit their busy time and well before the other corporates hit it. So we'd hope to have you involved in that, because reading financial statements is fairly important to you, I'd imagine.
The other change that Alan mentioned, you mentioned there were two changes to the work plan. The other one is that one of the items that we had proposed to include within annual improvements exposure draft to be published this quarter concerning clarifying that a revenue-based measure for depreciation isn't consistent with R16 or R38. We've decided to pull that one out and to expose that separately because of the concerns of the impact on that on certain industries. So rather than it be part of annual improvements, we're just going to disclose that separately now.
Okay, questions, comments? We're going to talk about some of these subjects later on in the day, but not all of them. There's your opportunity to talk about those that were not.
Is there any thinking on sort of effective date for bigger projects like leases and revenue recognition, for example? One stage we were debating the merits of sort of, you know, just having things taking effect whenever they were finished, and then the alternative sort of quasi big bang. And we seem to be coalescing around January 2015 as a sort of potential big bang date. That's looking more ambitious under the current sort of timetables. Is it likely that the whole thing sort of then shifts 1 year back, or is that still to be decided?
It's very difficult, because we had a go last time at when we had the major projects coming together. It looked like we were, as you say, coalescing around 30 June 2011 to finish just about everything, and then we could have to decide, and you know, whether we have a big bang or some sort of transition. And of course, things changed. And so a lot of the thinking about that is, it's had to move on, unfortunately. A lot of our discussions have been mainly around IFRS 9 and the pieces for that, plus the and how that fits in with insurance in particular. And I don't know if you're aware that one of the decisions that was made that, I guess, breaks this idea of a big bang for IFRS 9, not to quite break it, but when we are going to go out an exposure draft and give the option to do the own credit solution in IFRS 9 in isolation, in other words, you can just pick that part of it as an early adoption. But, you know, not necessarily relevant outside of inside of Europe at the moment, but there's clearly been a call for us to allow people to separate the own credit component and put it through OCI, and that would be available. up until now, our process has been, as we build IFRS 9, you have to take all the pieces together, and this is a potential exception to that. But we still have to look and see. You know, our ideal has been a big bang approach to IFRS 9, but we still have to get feedback on the impairment model and the implications for that. So I think we've got it'd probably be unhelpful to give it any indication what we're going to do until we get feedback on that. We might need more time for leases and less time for revenue, or vice versa. So
I think we're out of step now on some of the big projects. So first half of next year, we'll finalise revenue recognition, but we'll issue an ED on insurance. So I think it would be crazy to wait until insurance is finished to make revenue recognition mandatory. But yeah, as Alan says, we haven't made any final decisions on effective dates.
I'm pleased you agree with the plan.
So you've got you're happy with the plan? Robert, you're not happy.
No, well, okay. The plan, I've been listening to this for a long time, these plan discussions for a long time. The plan is the plan, and it keeps changing, and it's not a criticism. I listen, I hear. The only constructive comment is it's get it right, and you've heard that before. Don't stick to a timeline. We waste time if we have to go back. So I'm encouraging to you to get it right. We all know it's the plan will change again, and we're not going to bug you about the fact that the plan changed again.
Well, what about the research projects that we've decided to take on? Do you think they're appropriate? Are there other things you think we should be adding sooner rather than later?
As well as ones we've started to feed on now, see if I can remember them all, the discount rates. And that basically the idea is there that people tell us that we've got inconsistent use of discount rates. I think some of us would dispute that and say, well, they actually know they meet different objectives. But what we haven't done a good job on is actually making sure that people understand those different objectives. And so we're looking at research project to go through and make sure that we identify the objectives that we're trying to set out to meet, what discount rates we use, and if there are inconsistencies, identify whether or not we should deal with those in a standard setting and project. So the discount rate. We did some work previously on extractive activities, the Australians and the Australians, the Finns, South Africans, Norwegians, the South Africans and the Canadians did some work together. I've described that as a project that has the same characteristics as insurance. There's embedded practice that will be very difficult to change. There are embedded views from the analysts that will be difficult to change. And so it's a project that you've got to approach with caution, because I think you have to be pretty clear about what the problems are and what you're trying to fix. And it's been suggested to us by several people that it's not much different to, the example I use, you pour money into the ground looking for oil, or pour money into compounds looking for pharmaceuticals, for example. There are families of pharmaceuticals, there are oil fields and oil, defined areas. So maybe we should actually think about this more generally, about R&D, exploration, development, and so on, and take it a rather bigger picture. So the research project will actually maybe step back and have a look at that and see. In other words, we're not going to race down to Robert's point. We're not going to sit in here and say, let's do a project on extractive activities. We think it will take 5 years. We're doing more research to make sure that when we do feed it onto the standards level agenda, we've got a much, much clearer identification of the problem and much clearer expectations of how long it will take. So those two. The other projects are, we're looking at liabilities equity, particularly documenting the instruments that continue to cause either, I'll call them problems in practice in terms of application of the current requirements, or that people look at the instruments and question intuitively about whether you get the right outcome. And that will feed into our conceptual framework discussion, because it's important we're doing liability and equity definition. We're looking at IAS 37, which is the non-financial liabilities. Again, the problem areas for measurement and identification of liabilities, and those will feed into the framework as well. So the research is gathering information to feed it back into the framework. Hyperinflation or high inflation, South America in particular and other areas with high inflation, 40 to 60%, as opposed to hyperinflation, people question the information content of financial statements. They're saying it's not conveying performance properly. Plus, a couple of other projects are foreign currency. And you're going to remind me
to what extent do you think it's actually possible for the ISB and staff to sort of set out down a path, you know, say we have something on this piece of paper, start doing a research project, maybe it turns into a discussion paper. It seems to me that in the past, that once something has started off down those tracks, there is a standard coming almost sort of whatever. And I'm interested to know to what extent can that process stop?
That's exactly why we've separated the research from the standards level, because one of the outcomes of the research agenda or program could well be a discussion paper that says, you know what, there isn't really a major problem here, and our recommendation is we do no more. It's always difficult using real examples, but we have been given there's a problem with income volatility of sort of foreign currency movements that the Koreans are particularly concerned about in the shipbuilding industry. And when that issue was taken to IFAS, which is the old national standard setters, the consistent message they got back was, we don't think there's a problem worth fixing. We just think that's volatility in exchange rates. But we think we should pick that research up from the Koreans and share that around and get a wider input, because that may be the answer, and we simply say we stop. But the discount rates, maybe there is no problem in there. So a successful outcome for us is identifying that we don't have a problem that needs fixing.
By the way, Alan, I don't think it's our experience that once we start something that there will always be a standard. Is it?
No.
I think we have a rather rich history of failed
products. I recognise that. Yeah.
Well, Fred Hans, nobody's mentioned IAS 33, earnings per share. You know, we've had an ED, simple little alignment with the US. Where's that gone? What's it called?
37.
37 is still on the research side.
Insurance is quite a good example.
Yeah. And also discontinued operations. That was that we pulled that out of financial statement presentation in 2005 or 6 to do a short-term fix. So, yeah, but I understand there's an expectation once you start, then it's on a chain. But the idea of this whole research program is to break that whole cycle. My personal view is that sometimes it's clear that we have a problem, but unless you define the problem very, very clearly, then it's hard to get a solution. And I think it's much easier to get people to agree on what the problem is than it is to get the solution. If you can agree on the problem, you're a long way there.
Yeah, no, completely agree.
Okay, if there's no other questions on
this one. Sorry, emissions trading is another one that we're looking at. It's one of those things where a lot of countries around the world have backed off the economic the economic environment is actually means that they've backed off, the Australians have backed off a bit, the US has backed off a bit, but it's the sort of thing we are going to still do the research on. We've done a lot of background work. We had a secondee here for 2 years, so we want to do some more research on that to make sure we document the schemes and look at what the general problems are, because it will come back in, and there are still European schemes and others, so we can't ignore that. But again, that we research on.
Okay, shall we, plenty of opportunity later, I guess, to talk about some of these issues. We're looking at revenue recognition and leasing and others. Shall we go on with Martin's paper and go through that?
General observation, listening to what I listened, there was at some point some discussion about stepping back and have a period of pencils down, because many things that I'm hearing here and, to your point, the issue is people do not agree on the solution. It's sometimes because you don't really have a solution, or the solution is not grounded by something that's a concept. So is there some scope to actually not doing research in order to get the next project, but taking research, take good inventory of what are all issues, or use your IFRIC to solve the issues that are really, really issues? Because from the point that you identify those issues, they're really significant issues, you kick off a project that probably have a solution, you have 10 or 15 years on those, from the problem identification to solution. And the question is whether the board and even investors are going to be better served by stepping back, have a period of calm, understanding what the issues are, putting them in broad buckets, deal with them more conceptually, think about what compromises can be made, and then address them then rather than chasing, you know, discrete individual projects. It's just a thought that from a project management, it may serve better than covering a much larger territory, because it seems that it's kind of starting to diverge again. Rather than going to a period of calm, let's be consistent. Let's think about concentrating on the core and then deal with everything else in the periphery, which would be my recommendation.
I hope that that's a sense of what we are doing in some ways, because you know, we've got a very, what looks like a very active technical program, and people say, well, how does that reconcile with the period of calm? Mm-hmm. And the way it does is that we're still focused on just getting completed those core joint projects. Conceptual framework, everybody said, do that, because that's going to set the foundation for the future. The rest of the program, none of that is going to turn out in the next 3 years in any way to be a standards, for example. That's building up our thinking in the background. And so in a sense, it's pencils down on the standard setting for some of it, and it is stepping back and thinking about those general issues. And I think the framework will then help shape a lot of that future, the research side. But we also don't want to be in a position where I'd love a three-year holiday, but you actually put your pens down, and then in 3 years' time you go, well, isn't it a shame you didn't actually do a little bit of information gathering or thinking and building? So it's a tricky balance. We're trying to try and manage it so we're poised and ready to go when we've got the framework in place.
And I think we also see the Interpretations Committee doing more in terms of the maintenance side. And you'll see in the narrow scope amendments section, there's four exposure drafts there, two of which actually relate to long-standing issues, maybe three actually long-standing issues, that now that there's perhaps a little bit of space, the committee's able to address those and propose amendments.
Just another one, sort of slightly left field, really. The IASB is not in charge of enforcing IFRS, but it's quite clear, I mean, we're talking about the SEC paper a bit later, but it's quite clear that one of the major issues with IFRS around the world is inconsistent application and inconsistent enforcement. Is there any sort of thought that at least the IASB could be describing the range of practices so that at least it was a little clearer to users in general that, you know, here is a country where it's a little more the Wild West or the Wild East, and here is a little more where practices perhaps towards the sort of the centre of the possible range, if you like. Sort of almost like a quality assessment.
How would we know that?
How would you know that?
Yes, how would we know that?
I guess you would have to start by liaising with local authorities and doing your own investigative work.
And they will tell us it's Wild West in our country?
They will tell you they've got special circumstances that mean that, you know, this particular set of practices is entirely legitimate. You would have to then come up with your own independent view.
What we are doing already is to find out with our constituents to what extent they apply IFRS, what exceptions there are, which sort of companies do have to apply IFRS. Are there carve-outs? And we haven't done that before. That is already, I think, an important beginning.
Hans, another suggestion of how you can do it, the big four firms cover the entire globe. They talk to each other. So simply, it's not necessarily enforcement, but simply asking them, what type of questions do you get where people struggle with application? Yeah. Where your partners struggle with it. And I'm sure they have a long list of things that they've consulted on.
We are planning to intensify our relationship with national standard setters, we are also intensifying our relationships with IOSCO and ESMA and enforcers around the world. So we might get a better picture of what is going on But for us to really collect reliable information in that respect, I think will be that we can publish will be very difficult.
I believe it'd be an enormous job, I think.
Yeah.
To do that. I mean, we obviously get lots of anecdotal evidence of differences in application around the world, but to make that sufficiently reliable and comprehensive to publish would be massive. I don't deny that it would be highly useful from your perspective.
But one of the things that we are doing is working more in enhancing our interaction with IOSCO, ESMA, and also others involved in the enforcement or the application of RFRSs, because to the extent that we're able to hear earlier and more about issues associated with the application of RFRSs, then sooner that whether it's the board or the interpretations committee can, through the normal practices that's already in play, address those issues where standard setting action is appropriate, or support enforcers and auditors in their role in terms of the consistent application of RFRS.
Regarding the research program, one of the possible area of investigation, I believe, should be the areas that are designed are pointed at by most of the group around the table as a source of potential interest from our point of view. I believe it's a way to prepare some of the debates among key subjects, which for us are key. I mean, there has been a consultation, I believe, a year ago about what could be the program of the ISB. And I believe some of our groups around the table have made some suggestion, and I believe you should cover in your research some of this point in order to have answers to investors' questions.
Well, certainly your input is very valuable in terms of the agenda consultation, and I hope that we're going to take on some of the particular things that you mentioned as part of our research program going forwards.